Blog Talk Radio.
I lost my key in the great unknown, and call me please, 'cause I can't find my phone. This is the stuff that drives me crazy. This is the stuff that's getting to me lately. In the middle of my little mess, I forget how big I'm blessed. This is the stuff that gets under my skin, but I've got to try.
Drive.
everyone, and welcome to Your Place. I'm Starla, and tonight we're going to have Thanksgiving Your Place style. We have a real treat for you tonight. The author of the book, The Woolly Worm, is going to be our guest speaker tonight. Bobby Lively has been involved in ministry for several years. She claims to be older than dirt, but I think this is just a slight exaggeration. She has ministered to children all the way to helping work with young ministers, and she works with several church groups, but is a licensed minister through the United Pentecostal Church International. She has hosted her own radio show and has worked as a missionary to the Arctic. On top of all that, she has been involved with starting new church works, and when they did not have a music program, she became the music program. She has recorded a couple of music CDs, and we asked her to speak the mentioned topic of counting your blessings, but have learned it is best to allow her to share what she is feeling, but I'm sure that that is the topic for tonight. But first of all, from all of us here at Your Place, we want to wish you all a blessed Thanksgiving. Like many have lost, we have lost our loved ones that we remember during these holiday seasons. Wild Bill suggests that you think of the years you had with those people and remember how they made them special, and be thankful that you had those times and the time with them. We also want to say thank you again for our military who are separated from their family during the holidays. Now, I hope you all are ready to be blessed as we turn the show over to our own Blog Talk Mom. At the end of the show, you'll be able to ask questions or make comments, and just push one on your phone, and this will show us on our board that you want to be a part of the show. You'll be identified by the last four numbers of your phone number when we activate your mic. And now, without further ado, here's Blog Talk Mom.
Hello. That was just a wonderful introduction, and I do want to thank Blog Talk Wild Bill and Sister Starla. I love this. just the whole thing on counting your blessings, that song, it was just wonderful, wasn't it? It just was just, I got up and I thought,
that
I think I'll shout.
My favorite.
Well, it just tells us the things that we think are really against us are the things that God is using to shape us and form us and put us into the to the image of Christ. So I do appreciate Wild Bill for picking the songs and for the hard work that he does each week. He spends a lot of time getting the program together, and I have never, ever, there's not been one time that I've listened to the program that I haven't gone away from it encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. And he's, of course, he's my son, but, you know, what can I say? He's just wonderful, and you are such a sweet person and a support to him, beautiful helpmate, and that speaks volumes.
You.
Now, later on, or in a minute, if you want to be looking up Philippians, the fourth chapter, and we'll sort of take it a few verses at a time, I want to say a special hello to Joy Bells, who got this whole thing started. And I don't know if she could even realize what it has done to enrich my life, because we all are in separate states and in separate walks of life. That just seems to be par for the course for families right now. And there's a tremendous amount of struggle financially and other ways with families so that they can't travel. And so I take this as a great gift from the Lord that I have this program each week, that we can talk about subjects that we agree on and that are very pertinent, because sometimes even when you get together, there's so much confusion and eating and talking and whatever, you never, you know, it's over and you think, wow, I never did really get to talk to that person, or, you know, you really get to the place that we could really share personal important things. So this program has enriched my life, and I am very, very thankful for it. And then for tonight, as far as counting your blessings, I think that we all know and we've all experienced the power of turning our focus, like what the song said, from what we don't have to what we do have, and feeling that release of the stress and anxiety that comes in our life just from the things that, like the song mentioned, being caught in traffic, having a flat tire, just all the little idiosyncrasies that come about in all of our lives. And then there are major things, like you mentioned about those in the military, those that are going through such hard times, so that we can enjoy even more of the freedom that we have. So I think this will be a good time as we read the scriptures. Anyone that would want to, you won't mess up my flow of thought in any way. If somebody wants to raise their hand and comment on something that you feel extremely grateful for, that, because that inspires others and it encourages others. We know that I think 30% of the people in the United States, close to that number, are suffering from anxiety disorders, and the holidays seem to amplify or magnify that. So we want to help each other, love each other, and share good news. I've learned something today that I didn't know. I knew that the gospel, the word gospel in the Greek, is translated, it means good news, from I think 80 to 90 something times in the New Testament. It talks about good news, and we have good news. Good news is what God wanted us to see in everything about the kingdom and what he did. It's good news. It's good news that no matter where we are and whatever circumstance we're in, that Almighty God that loved us enough, that came and took on our sin and just embraced us individually. There is no one that's left out. Everyone on this earth is a radiant soul, a person, a soul that God placed here. You are important, you are unique, you are loved, and you have whatever is going in through. There's ups and downs and sickness and disease and all, you know, all of the things that we all face at different times and seasons in our life. But to know that too will be a blessing in your life. That will be woven in to bring the beauty of you as a unique individual. I lose sight of that myself many times, but when I do begin to see again that God knows right where I am, and this week I was reading a little book about a minister was talking about he was going through a severe time, a tremendously traumatic time in his life, and God brought to his mind about the children of Israel when they left Egypt, and they had witnessed the bondage there, the slavery there, all of the hard things that they'd gone through, then the plagues, all of those things, and then they're being led out, and they find themselves facing the Red Sea. Now, they didn't have a boat. They didn't have any way possible to cross over that Red Sea. None. It couldn't have been any more just suddenly nowhere to go. And on top of that, Pharaoh's army has regrouped and is coming behind them. So, I mean, you talk about being between a rock and a hard place. But were they lost? Did God all of a sudden just forget? You know, oh, whoops. I mean, here they are. No, he knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly where they were. That just did something for me. I'm sorry. I cry when I feel the Lord. I'm not sad. But when I realize that when I am suffering or I don't understand, that God knows exactly where I am and where you are, and he has a plan. He's not going to let you get hurt or destroyed in any way. He'll work it all out. And I know we wear that scripture out sometimes, that all things, Romans 8:28, all things work together for our good. To those that are called of the Lord, of those that love him, that opens the door. And more, it seems like in the last few weeks, as I read the scripture, the Spirit of God will let me know that it's not a bunch of rules and regulations. There was law in the Old Testament, but it was a schoolmaster that led us to Christ. That Christ is so, he's just wanting to give us a blessing and to let us know how much he is here with us and loves us and wants to be intimately a part of every struggle. He doesn't want you to think he's a long way off. And I've had the privilege of working with my pastor on a book that she's writing, and one of the stories that she tells, I want to share it right now because it fits in so well with how much we can, the relationship that we can have with the Lord. There was a time in Sister Holland when she was smaller that her relationship with her father, who was a minister, was very, very close. If he got up to go pray for anyone during the night, any time, she was always right there by his side. And then he would teach her scripture. He was a scriptorian. He could just quote any scripture from any time. Somebody said one word, he could do the whole scripture, tell you the text, the whole thing, the verse. And so she learned all these things when she was with her father. And they had a very close relationship. One when she was just very, I think, 9, 10 years old, her mother needed some bananas and some vanilla wafers to make a pudding. And the way they had it then, it was like a big, like a country store. And they would go and they had a credit account. And each person would pay when they'd get their crops or whatever at the end of the month or year. They would pay off that bill that they owed. And so Sister Holland's mom sent her to the store to get these things. And it had just so happened that Sister Holland had been thinking, you know, she was just really full of life, and just she thought, if I had a bicycle, it would really help things out here. I could do my errands faster. I could go pick up my friends. This would just be a good thing. I really do need a bicycle, she thought. So she gets to the store, the country store, and lo and behold, it's close to Christmas, and he's putting together, the owner of the store is putting together bicycles. And she looks at this bicycle, and it's not just a bicycle. It's got a basket on the front and a light on it and another seat on the back. And, I mean, she's just looking at this bicycle. And the owner, he can see that she's watching, you know, and checking all of it out. And so she looks over, and she gets this real authority in her voice, and she says, I'd like this bicycle, and just put that on my dad's account. And he said, okay. So she takes off of the bicycle, rides it home with, you know, takes the stuff into her mom. And her mom looks at her and says, you know what? Wally Holland's going to get you this time, girl. I can just see the whole picture. So her dad drives up, and when he does, it was her habit to run out to greet him and get his lunch bucket, and she'd rumble around in it, and if he left a piece of sandwich or something, just because it was his, you know, she'd eat it. And so he's going by, and he looks over, and he says, a bicycle? Whose bicycle? And she said, mine. I put it on your bill. And he says, what shall I do with you? And he goes on in, they have supper, and so at the close of the meal, he looks over at his son. There was 10 children, but he looked over at the son, and he says, son, tomorrow you go to the store and you get you a bicycle. And so she tells this story, and when she tells it, she lets you know that our Heavenly Father, he's got an account up for us. Did you know it? I mean, it's like 20-something thousand promises. Ask what you will, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. I will supply, I do, my will for you is that you prosper. My will is that you be in health, even as your soul prospers. I mean, all these promises, and he's wanting us to say, hey, put this on my account, because I'm not able to do this. I'm not strong enough, and that's another trap we fall into. Lord, I'm not strong enough to put a smile on my face when I'm hurting very much inside. But I know that with you, I can just go ahead and cry on your account, because every tear is going to be, the Bible says there, that he keeps our tears. He is aware. He knows our feeling. He's a high priest that's moved with the very feeling of our infirmities. And he loves us. Oh, I tell you, it's just counting your blessings is powerful. We have a lady minister, a pastor also, that has gone through just tremendous physical, she had a stroke and several things have happened in her life. And she told us at a meeting, she said, I found out that when the stress is the very strongest, before I ever leave my bedroom, I count 100 things. I say them. I count 100 blessings that I have. And she said it may be just the fact that I've got sheets on my bed, that I've got a bed, that I've got a house to put the bed in, that I've got air and heat and, all, you know, the things that we so tend to take for granted. But what do we do when the air conditioner goes out and it's 100 degrees? All of a sudden, wow, we really want that air conditioner, but we take it for granted in between. And water, when we lived on the farm, there were times that we didn't have water. And my husband, Jim, would bring in big bottles of water because the water we did have came out of the well and it had little squigglies like it that I didn't know really how to get rid of. So things like that matter, and it works a miracle in us when we begin to say, I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I'm really, really grateful. And I learned a word today. I don't really know how to pronounce it, so I won't even try. My dog's decided that he's going to bark at someone. But it, you know how somebody might try to flatter you to get something from you? You know, you might just you just flatter. You know, it's not really real. They're just wanting to get something out of the situation. And this is the way that we might do God without really realizing it. You know, I'm going to shout. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to do this so that you'll do something for me. Instead of, God, you've done so much for me. You know, I'm aware so much. Like David that danced before the Lord with all of his might because he was so thankful to have the, oh, hallelujah, the presence of God. He was so thankful that he was bringing that Ark of the Covenant back, and he was happy in his heart. He knew he wasn't perfect. He knew he hadn't done things always so right, but he knew his God, and he was rejoicing about that. And you know, that's really what God wants us to do, not try to flatter him, but thank him. Oh, holy God, how precious you are, how real you are, how mighty, how powerful you are, oh God, how you have set me free, broke the chains of doubt and all of the things that had me so bound. Oh, he broke my chains of all the things that I ever say in prayers when I get to the place that I tell him again, Lord, I was bound. I was bound, and you broke the chains and set me free. Oh, he is such a good God. And I didn't mean to just, I just went on and on there, but I did feel the Lord very strongly. And so I'm going to be quiet a minute and see if someone wants to raise their hand and say something. Or Sister Starla, would you like to make a comment at this time?
True.
Well, we have a caller. Joybell?
Hey, I didn't press 1.
Well, somebody did because your hand was up.
Well, I am very, very grateful. Very grateful. Filled with thankfulness. I'm glad that there is a time of year that we all stop and take time to do that. And, Mama, you know that is my Bible story, King David. Dancing before the Lord.
Oh, I love that story. And to envision him, it's so beautiful.
Yes.
And I can remember Sister Joy Bells when you would be leading the choir song, and we'd all be shouting and dancing. Sign me up.
Oh, music is such an amazing and powerful thing. Oh, that'll be my one thing. I'm thankful for music.
It is one of the sweetest gifts that God gave to us, that we can play instruments and sing, and of course the voice is the greatest, most beautiful instrument. Anyway, it's just on that note, I would like to read something. Am I interrupting anyone or your thought?
We have another caller.
No. Turn me off, Starla.
Okay. You're off. Okay. 7376?
That's me.
All right.
How you doing, Sister Lively?
I'm fine. I am so glad you called. Now, this is a young minister in our church that has helped me at Briar Hill Nursing Home. Is one of the outreaches that we've had, and then he decorated when we had the clubhouse and gave us a freezer and air conditioners. He's just probably one of the most ministry of helps that I've ever seen in a church. He's just anything, and he does it with such a beautiful spirit. So I'm really glad. Do you have a particular thing you'd want to thank God for today?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Appreciate those sweet words. I was thinking there's something in the Bible of Jesus' life that a lot of us forget sometimes to be thankful for. You know, we could be thankful for John 3:16, that he gave his life for the world, or John, when Nicodemus came to him and Jesus told you had to be born again, we have the plan of salvation. Of course, I'm thankful for the basic things I have, a home, a car, my children, healthy. But the thing I'm thankful for the most is what Jesus done before his ministry. He lived the life of a man. He went through what we go through. He started from a child, and I believe that historians say he started his ministry at 30 years old. So there's 30 years Jesus, people just see him as a carpenter's son. But I'm thankful that he allowed himself to be born as a child and live 30 years just being a common man, and experiencing the things that common man experience. He may have stubbed his toe, bruised himself, fell down. He had to bathe, he had to eat, he had to sleep. He dealt with things that we deal on an everyday basis. He got up in the morning, he probably got stiff sometimes. They didn't have the luxurious beds that we have today. They probably slept on straw or on the ground and just different things, and he got hot in the summer, and I don't know if it gets cold in Bethlehem or Jerusalem where he lived or the places he's traveled, but he experienced so much that we experienced, and I'm thankful for what he experienced, because I can't say, well, God, you just don't know what I'm going through. Yes, he does. He knows everything I'm going through because he went through it. There's a familiar scripture in the Bible that I love so much. It's Hebrews 4:15. It says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, which meaning that God did come into the flesh, that he can be touched by infirmities, even though the Bible says he's a spirit, but that spirit became flesh that he may fill our infirmities. See, Jesus didn't come just for our salvation. That's the main key, but he also come to live the way we live, to live, to experience the things we experience, so he'd know what we're going through. So he could prove to us, hey, I went through it, you can go through it, because the same spirit I had in robed in flesh, it is in us when we accept him. But it says, with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted in everything that we could be tempted in life. There's nothing that Jesus was not tempted with. They had drinking back then. They had all kinds of things back then that a man could be tempted with, gambling, you name it. They had it, harlots, they had everything. So it wasn't like Jesus was not tempted at all points like we are, but he overcome it because of the spirit he had, the same spirit we have. because he had a purpose, and that purpose was us. And we should have, we must have that same purpose as looking out for our brothers and sisters in the lost of this world, that our purpose that, you know, we must reach the lost. I'm thankful for everything he experienced. I'm thankful for everything I experienced. Now, I could sit here and tell you the good things I'm thankful for, but there's a lot of bad things I'm thankful for, because sometimes it takes bad to make you appreciate the good.
That's true.
You heard the old saying that you don't know what you have till you lost it. Well, we don't want to wait till that happens to be appreciative of what we have. We want to go ahead and thank God for it now, because I want to keep, you know, what I have. I've lost a lot in my life, and I'm grateful for that, because God has blessed me with other things that are better. But he's also given me strength and understanding of why I had to lose these things in my life, that everything has a season and has a purpose under heaven. There's a reason for everything. And even, I'm not very old, I'm 46, and I'm still learning. But I'm thankful that I can learn. I'm thankful that I'm not to the point that I think I know more than God or my pastor, because I'm going to tell you something, I don't. I am thankful that I have leaders in my life, like my pastor and like Sister Lively, and elders in our church that have been way more through than I've been through, and can tell me stories and tell me things and help me when I'm going through things and tell me, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to stay away from, this is the way you need to think, this is where you need to handle it. Because Sister Lively is a witness. I talk to her often because I appreciate her wisdom and her knowledge of the Bible and the things she's been through. She's helped me many times, and I'm thankful that I have people I can go to in times of trouble and say, I'm going through something, and I need your guidance. I need your opinion. I need your wisdom. I need a word from you to help me through this. And I'm thankful that Jesus was like it. I'm thankful that he walked the earth as a common man, that he knows the common man. But when he started his ministry, he was the Son of God. He was all the time, but he was man. For 30 years, he was common man, and people just remember him as a carpenter's son, but he was much more than that.
That is really good. But what you're saying is, it's just such a confirmation of what God wants us to hear of that relationship that he desires with us. I'd heard read this thing today. He was talking about wisdom as we get older, and it said knowledge is realizing that the street is one way, and wisdom is looking both directions anyway. You know, y'all, you're young, and, you know, Wild Bill, he's just so fervent when he does the program. But as you grow older, you realize that knowledge is really good, but like Wild Bill said, it can almost be dangerous if you don't have the experiences. I'd like to read something about this is about things y'all probably already know it, but I didn't know that Abraham Lincoln had written a proclamation about Thanksgiving, and we know about the Gettysburg Address. But it said in this article, it said that Thanksgiving Day was attributed to Mrs. Sarah Joseph Hale. She was the editor of Gottes Ladies Book, G-O-D-E-Y-S, Ladies Book. And for 30 years, she promoted the idea of a national Thanksgiving Day, and she contacted president after president until, when she contacted President Abraham Lincoln, he responded. It was in 1863, and he set aside the last Thursday of November at that time as National Day of Thanksgiving. And then over the next 75 years, presidents followed Lincoln's precedent, and they still had the Thanksgiving Day. And in 1941, Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday of each November as a national holiday. So we know about the Pilgrims and the Indians, you know, how they came to America. But I didn't know. I guess I just assumed it was always Thanksgiving Day. But it was actually when Abraham Lincoln did that. And it went on to say that he said, let's see, when the Civil War, there was a time 60,000 of our young men were killed at this point in the Civil War. 60,000 at this battle. And he said he had never claimed to be a Christian. He had asked the whole United States to pray for him, everyone to pray for him, because he had lost his son, which was a horrible thing. But when when he walked through the graveyard, the cemetery, of those, all of those stones that he, at that point, he consecrated his life to God with whatever methods he did that, I don't know, it didn't say. But in this article, he said at that point that he did consecrate, he said he committed his life to Christ. And he said, as Americans, this was his heart, to celebrate Thanksgiving each year, we hope they will retain the original gratefulness to God. You know, not get too caught up in just getting together, you know, just sometimes we just get excited about family and turkey and cranberry sauce and banana pudding and whatever. But he's bringing us around to remember what God has done in our country, how he has displayed a great mercy to us, and he's given us courage, and that in America there is a beautiful hard work ethic, self-reliant communities. You know, we have our problems, but there are devout religious groups that are, they're pure. And then he went on to say that, to pray that we would be, that in God's mercy, that we would be forgiven for those things that we did pervert, and the horrible things in war, the murders and just the horrors of war. And he said, on every Thanksgiving day, take time to remember those that have lost their loved ones, especially in military, that have lost, that will not have this Thanksgiving because someone has given their life, have surrendered the greatest gift they could give us so that we could have freedom, so that we could have this Thanksgiving. Be mindful of that and to thank God for it. And I thought that was very beautiful and well worth mentioning today. He said, no human counsel has devised nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who while dealing with us in anger for our sins, like you were saying, Brother Dana, he knows about all of these things, he hath nevertheless remembered his mercy. And that was just beautiful. I was really thankful that Wild Bill let me look some of these things up. And I was thankful that, Starla, if you pushed the wrong button, I love to hear Joy Bells on this program. She's just the bright and shining star of Blog Talk Radio, isn't it right?
Yes, yes.
All right, now we need to read. It's, Brother Dana, were you through? If he's through, we're going to read.
Oh, wait. Just a second.
Just one more thing.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I have a friend in Australia I was talking to last night, and I was talking about Thanksgiving, and she's never heard of Thanksgiving. And it was unusual to explain it to her, and I explained it to her, and I went through how it's a tradition over here in the United States and about the Pilgrim and about Columbus and everything, kind of give her a history lesson. And she was just so amazed by it that she told me that she was probably going to celebrate Thanksgiving Thursday because she was just so impressed with it. And I told her, you know, it's just a day that we set aside. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving, but it's a day that the United States sets aside to give thanks. And I just thought that was quite unusual.
That's interesting.
Didn't think about other countries don't celebrate Thanksgiving because I have been a citizen of the United States all my life. This is all I've ever known, Thanksgiving and different holidays. But you never think that other countries don't even know what it is. And I was thankful to be able to explain it to somebody else and hear them say, you know what, I think I'll fix up Thanksgiving dinner Thursday and celebrate Thanksgiving in a country that don't even know nothing about it.
Well, that's wonderful. That is a great testimony, and I appreciate that. We had a miracle in our church this week. One of our young men graduated last year, and he was they were actually playing some type of game, some of the young people, and he fell 12 to 14 feet. I don't remember exactly. And they had him in a full body brace. He had fractures all up and down the vertebrae of his spine. And the church went into actually Thanksgiving because they were praying and worshiping and what we call in Pentecost had a shout down. And they last word I heard, they have discharged Brother Will from the hospital, and we have a good report. So that's the power of praise in a situation. That was very, very wonderful news. And I'd like to share these scriptures before we do run out of time. Sister Starla, would you begin to read Philippians chapter 4?
The whole chapter?
We start, just go 1 through 4, and then we'll...
Okay. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech
Euodius, yeah, I guess,
and beseech
Syntyche, mm-hmm,
that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
Now, if we took those four scriptures and think, just meditate upon what he's saying, how beautifully he includes everyone, how his heart reaches out way beyond himself, totally, it reaches out to every worker, every yoke fella, name some by name, and he's telling them, he's giving them the deepest, most profound advice he can. He's not in the pulpit. He doesn't have three points and a closing and an altar call. He is reaching out, and the same Paul in the same scripture is reaching out to you and me today, right now. He's reaching out to tell us that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, and again, I say, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he's reaching to you to say that there's nothing, there's no jail that I've been thrown into. There's no time that they've took me and left me for dead when they beat me. There's no time that I've been ridiculed and mocked, and that I've been done every which way that you can do me. He's saying, none of that, none of that. Don't look at that. Don't look at that, he's saying. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because he wasn't looking at this world. He had his eyes upon the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Savior of the world, our Heavenly Father, the source of all power, the strength of every human being. He was looking beyond that, and he said, rejoice. I mean, history says that when it actually came time for Paul to lay down his life, and they opened the doors of the jail, he was going to be beheaded. History, Josephus, they say that he literally ran to the block, because he knew that he said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'm willing to live in this life. I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do and whatever I have to go through to share this glorious gospel. But I'm looking forward when I'm going to be face to face with the one I love. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. And then he goes on. I'm telling you, I believe in whatever you got to do to get over any situation. But if we would just go right here and have this heart-to-heart talk with the Apostle Paul. And then, Sister Starla, if you'll go ahead and read 5 through 7.
Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Now, Sister Starla, this, and everyone that's listening, this little portion of Scripture has kept Sister Bobby Lively through storms and through heartaches and through disappointments that I wouldn't even take time to even bother you having to hear. Because It says be careful, which means be anxious, have no anxiety over anything, but turn your eyes from the problem to the problem solver. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Supplication means to let him have his way. Don't try to twist his arm for you to have your way or my way, but let him have his way. It's always the best way. And then do that with thanksgiving. Well, all right, I'm going to do it, but bless God, I tell you one thing or not, I'm not happy about it. Well, you know, just go ahead and do whatever you want to do. If you can't have joy in the things that we suffer for the Lord, you miss out on everything. And I'm talking to myself as well as anybody that would be listening to me right now. And Paul knew what he was saying, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing this. He's saying, have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and it takes strength to walk above the situation that you're in, and it is there for us if we will do it in the joy of the Lord. Now, I didn't mean to preach here, but, okay, let your request be made known unto God, and then that's the process. This joy and bells and all of us have brought that out so many times. This is the process. And then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Is that not awesome?
That is awesome.
That is awesome. So when that negative thought comes in, that self-destructive pattern, then we turn it. You know, Sister Starla, I'd like for you, I want you to start counting to 10, and then when I ask you a question, I want you to stop and answer me, okay?
Count to 10?
Yeah, start counting to 10.
1, 2, 3.
What's your name?
5.
What's your name?
Starla.
What'd you have to do with the counting when you gave me your name?
I had to quit counting.
So when the enemy says you're not going to make it, you can't make it, you don't know what you're doing, you're just a loser, and there's just no way you can ever understand all of these things, and you know, whatever, you say, oh, my God says I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's in the rest of this chapter right here. And when you say that, he and the thoughts, like Sister Holland said, her dad said that someone said that when they went by and saw the devil sitting on a stump and he was crying, and the guy said, why are you crying, devil? He said, them Pentecostals are blaming everything on me. And you know, a lot of times we blame everything on the enemy, and it's our own rotten, stinking thinking. You know, just dwell on the Lord. And like Sister Joybell said, get the song on, and like that one that Wild Bill had, and start worshiping. I mean, just, you know, worship. Sing the praises unto God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I had, I don't know, 15 pages of scriptures on joy, but if anybody wants to, the two things I'd like to ask the people that are listening and all of us to do is for this week to journal, get you a journal, and write 100 things that you're thankful for. And the first 15 or 20, you'll just fly through them. But you'll see by the time you get to 100, it will get more difficult. And as you go ahead and press through and write 100 things that you're thankful for, then each day add one more thing to that. And you'll find that there will be a release in your faith, for one thing, and your way of looking at things, your energy, everything will change if you'll do this that I'm asking you to do. It will work. Count your blessings. Write them down. And then go back and read them, and then add one more each day. And then I'd like to hear from you and find out what your experience is about that. I've found if I write something down that it releases an understanding within me about it. I look back at it, and I can see actually where my thinking might have been opposite of what the Word of God says. I was, you know, in contrary to the Word of God. About not giving up, I heard another little story. This little boy looked at his mother, and she was putting cold cream all over her face. And he looked at her, and he said, "What are you doing that for?" And, you know, she was just, he was cute, and she said, "I'm getting beautiful." And so in a minute, she took a tissue, and she was wiping all the cold cream off, and he looked at her, and he said, "Did you give up?" That's supposed to be, I hope I said that right, but I mean, don't give up. Just because things don't always look like we think that they should, keep going on. That you're going to make it because God said you were going to make it. So now we're going to read 8 through, what time is it? I'm just having a wonderful time here.
It's 10 now.
All right, 8 through 9.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you.
Isn't that wonderful? You talk about a stress buster. Those scriptures are wonderful. And I've shared this before, but there was a time in my life that I was turning my life around, and a particular temptation came to me that I thought that I had totally been delivered from. And I mention this because a lot of times people come to the altar, and I think while Bill was saying it today, was talking about it, and they think that they couldn't make a mistake, you know, that they're just going to be like a car, and God's going to drive them, and there just won't be any, you know, you're just perfect from then on, and that's just not the way it is. And so at this particular time in my life, I didn't actually yield to the temptation, but it was so strong that I felt the guilt that you feel from just being that tempted. And so I was physically sick from the shock of feeling that. I just felt dirty. I just felt like a failure. And of course we have an adversary that he'll come along and really amplify that for you. And so I was just, actually, I was lying down on the sofa, and I didn't have any strength. And the Word of God came to me, and it said the scripture right here. If there be anything that's honest or true, any of these things, think on these things. And my mind began to think about just immediately the things that God had done, the miracles that he had done, the chains, like I mentioned before, that he had broken off of my life, the deliverances that had come, and as I did, that other was gone. It literally, and I got up and shouted all over the living room, because we are in a spiritual warfare, and Paul is giving us tools here to battle anxiety and depression and guilt and the things that Satan uses to, if he can't get you lost, then he wants you ineffective. He wants you so confused that you don't take authority and do the things that God has purposed in your life. So these scriptures are powerful. They're wonderful. And again, I want us to do that homework assignment of writing down the things that we're thankful for. If I have time, there's one quick little story I'd like to read. Do we have time?
Oh, you don't worry about the time.
Okay. This is a story that was written in a workbook that I'm going through right now. One evening, this man, his name was Perlman, was in New York to give a concert. As a child, he had been stricken with polio, and so getting on stage was no small feat for him. He wore braces on both legs and walked with two crutches. Perlman labored across the stage slowly until he could reach the chair in which he was going to and began to play. As soon as he appeared on stage that night, the audience applauded and then waited respectfully as he made his way slowly across the stage to his chair. He took his seat, signaled to the conductor to begin, and began to play. No sooner had he finished the first bars than one of the strings on his violin snapped with a report like a gunshot. At that point, Perlman was close enough to the beginning of the piece that it would have been reasonable just to stop the concert, wait, repair the string, and then begin again. But that's not what he did. He waited a moment and then signaled the conductor to pick up just where they had left off. Perlman now had only three strings with which to play his solo part. He was able to find some of the missing notes on adjoining strings. But where that wasn't possible, he had to completely rearrange the music on the spot in his head so that it would all still be held together. He played with passion and artistry, spontaneously rearranging the symphony right through to the end. When he finally rested his bow, the audience sat for a moment, and then after stunned silence, they rose to their feet and began to cheer wildly. They knew they had been witness to an extraordinary display of human skill and ingenuity. Perlman raised his bow to signal for quiet. "You know," he said, "it is the artist's task to make beautiful music with what you have left." We have to wonder, was he speaking of his violin strings or his crippled, broken body? And is it true only for artists? We are all lacking something, and so we are challenged to answer the question, do we have the attitude of making something of beauty out of what we have incomplete, no matter how incomplete it is? And I thought that was so inspirational.
Yeah.
That whatever we don't have, look at what we do have and praise God, continually praise Him. And that is most of what. Does anyone have anything to say, or did you?
We have another caller.
Okay.
6115. Hello?
Hi. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Sister Lively?
I know who that is, Sister Denise. How are you?
I'm doing great.
And what are you thankful for?
What am I thankful for? I have a lot of things to be thankful for, but I am very thankful to be sitting under such a godly woman and a great teacher that gives me A pluses and smiley faces and encouragement.
Well, I can do that because, and for those that are listening, Sister Denise has taken some Bible studies here, and it's just the neatest. She is the most fervent, has done just beautiful work, and I'm very pleased at her attitude and just having her here. It's just been a blessing to me, and she's going to be a Bible scholar. See, I'm 72, so when I leave the scene, I got to leave all you young folks around to pick up do the work. Isn't that right?
You got a big pair of shoes to try to fill.
I don't know. I know, just like this little story that we did, everybody has a broken string. I mean, all of us, there's something. I grew up with ADD and didn't even know what it was, you know, at that particular point. But all of us have things like that, that broken string. But we've got three more. We've got something that we can work with, and with God's help, we can attain exactly the purpose that He placed us here on this earth. And I appreciate you for calling. That was very, very sweet of you.
Yes, ma'am. And just know, whenever that string gets thin, just tie another knot on it and just tie knots.
Yeah, when you, what is Brother Shield used to say that about tie a knot in the end of your rope and hang on.
That's right.
That is so true. Did you get to hear my darling daughter's voice? You came in later because you've been at church. But
right.
She was on earlier.
Was she? I didn't get to hear that. but I did get to hear the reading.
My daughter is the one that got me started, that I wrote my book. She, there's a program called NaNoWriMo, and in November everybody can go into that website and write a book. So she's in the process of writing a book right now, and so we want to pull her away from that. But we do appreciate her, and I appreciate getting to write my book, her help with that. She helped me edit it, and so did Sister Starla. And I'm really thankful for my book. Everybody pray that I can sell about 1 million of them, because I sure would like to buy a new RV. He said he'd supply our needs. Now, here, next week, I ought to be telling y'all. Isn't that right? No, I'm trying to.
That's right.
Being facetious here. But I do, before we leave, I'd like for us to have a word of prayer. I'd like for us to all agree together that whoever would be listening, if they are having a battle with anxiety or sadness, or the hospitals are full, there are dilemmas, there are real dilemmas. We don't look through rose-colored glasses. There are real dilemmas, and we want people to know that we're joining with them in prayer. So, Sister Star, when you get ready, you just let me know.
Go ahead.
Lord Jesus, we do come before you with thanksgiving. You said to enter your courts with thanksgiving. Enter your gates with praise and thanksgiving. Lord, worshiping you, knowing, Lord, not that you are on an ego trip and need us somehow to satisfy that, but that you know that as we do that, we are set free from the darkness and the depressions and the hardness that would come and make us calloused and not be able to receive. Lord, give us that understanding, that wisdom to know why you have set certain things in place for us. Lord, those that are listening, Lord, let there be a special, just an anointing that destroys the yoke. Lord, let there be a spirit of thanksgiving rest upon them. Lord, let, as they go to sleep tonight, let it be counting, not sheep, but counting how many things that you have done, how many wonderful things, the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope that you have a cure for whatever ails us, mentally, physically, or spiritually. There is a cure. There is a balm in Gilead. Lord, go all through the world. Lord, that young woman that Brother Dana shared that knowledge with, let her find a blessedness this Thanksgiving for my family, for my daughter, my son, my grandchildren, their companions, everyone in my family. I thank you for them, Lord, how precious they are to me and to Sister Denise and to everyone, Lord, that was listening, that if they've got a burden at this moment, Lord, touch their heart. Let them feel your presence. Let them know that you're right there, right now, with them. The Red Sea or Pharaoh's army cannot destroy a child of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we want to thank you for being with us tonight. We really enjoyed what you had to share with us. I really enjoy everything that you always have to say, and it's delightful.
Well, I am blessed. I am blessed. This program is so wonderful, and I hope other people just call in and give their share each week. That's Wild Bill's desire, is for other people to take part in it. And we'll take a back seat and let y'all just share whatever's on your heart when he has a subject. He seeks God each week for the subject that he's going to use. And then, of course, it's my delight just to get to come in at whatever point and put something in there with it and get to hear y'all. So I love you, and God bless you. And good night.
We have Wild Bill.
All right.
Wild Bill?
Yeah, I really enjoyed what everyone had to say tonight. I just wanted to add something. If you really want to count your blessings, find something different this year. Be a blessing to someone else.
Hallelujah.
Make a point that you're going to be a blessing to someone, and it doesn't have to be someone that is easy to be a blessing to. The more hard it is to bless someone, maybe because of problems in a relationship or something, you're going to find the bigger the blessing is that you're going to get out of it. And I really appreciate those scriptures, because there's a power in how we think. We can think, oh, I'm not feeling good today. And so it's like, you know, you don't look very good. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm not feeling good. And then you get to thinking about that. And before you know it, you know, you're wanting to take your temperature, and maybe you're wanting to lay down. And before you know it, you may be in bed for 2 or 3 days. You can sort of make yourself sick. And, you know, you can have the same situation where I've got to go to work today. And after a while, you forget you were feeling bad, and you go through your whole day, and you get home, and your wife's like, well, you know, how did you feel today? And you're like, I guess I'm okay. Yeah, I forgot about it. But well, on those things, like what the Bible was saying, on the things that are good, on the things that are pure, on the things that God has blessed us with, the negative things are not going to be able to build up power in our life when we do that. It's going to be like trying to put grease and water together. It's just not going to mix. And you're going to have something there that's going to give you a power to overcome in ways that you never would believe is possible. So thank you so much for what you've added to our show this week. And I thought I misunderstood. I thought Joybell said she had something to read on the show, and I was really looking forward to hearing what that was. But did I misunderstand?
Yeah, we sound alike. I said that, and it sounded like her, I think.
Well, anyway, I pray that everyone has a very blessed Thanksgiving. And for those, as Blog Talk Mom says, if you have real issues in your life, just remember God, like you said, he knows where you are. And if you lean on him, it may seem like there's no way, but I can tell you for a fact that God finds a way when there is no way. When you're up against the Red Sea and the army's behind you, he has a way of making a path where, in a way that's never been done before. He's not limited by things that we've seen and things that we know. He's without limitation, and his heart is to do good for all of us. So God bless each and every one of you, and I pray that you have a blessed holiday season.
We love you.